morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, January 25th, 2012 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator. Here with Dave Opt and Eric Taylor, who is the executive secretary and the controls for the hearing today. Just one note about time. It actually is 9:30. We're starting on time at 9:30. The clock is running about 16 or 17 minutes slow, so don't be caught up by that. So some general information on the variance hearing process. The order of presentation, the applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings required to justify a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit a declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. The proponents or opponents, general members of the public, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak after the private sponsor speaks. After that, the applicant and or owner will be allowed 3 minutes of rebuttal if there were any comments made in opposition to the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the hearing, I may close the item, take it under advisement, continue it to a future date. I may also make a decision on the item today or take it under advisement and have a decision at a later date. The items on the consent calendar, and there's one on the consent calendar today, are matters that are considered routine. If you would like to speak on this item, please step forward. Otherwise, it would be granted subject to standard conditions. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code could result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not attributable by or created by the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the number of variance cases and other staff assignments, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of the hearing. And if anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, it's important that you put the sign-up sheet against the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The decision letter is the appealable document. It's the appealable document. Once it's issued, you have 10 days to appeal the decision to the Board of Appeals. Other matters, private conversations can be very disruptive during hearing. While we encourage parties to meet to discuss, we would ask that you do that outside or do it in quiet voices inside. The next variance hearing is scheduled for the end of February
22nd.
22nd, so that'll be the next hearing date. And also audio recordings of the variance hearings, beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing, are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda. That is all, and we can go to the consent item.
There's only one item as mentioned earlier in our consent calendar. Case number 2011.0064B, 2835 Vallejo Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought.
So is anyone here to speak on this item? That's 2835 Vallejo Street. If there is no public comment, then this item would be granted with standard conditions. So is anyone who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on 2835 Vallejo Street and decline to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions. And now we can move on to the regular calendar.
Moving to the regular calendar, case number 2011.1299V, 2373 Francisco Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here, please? The sponsor for 2373 Francisco Street.
So, seeing that the project sponsor is not here, we will hold this item over until later in the calendar to give them time to attend, and we can move on to item number 3.
Item number 3, case number 2011.0830V, 2882 Geary Boulevard, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor for this project here, please? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes.
Hi. We're trying to convert two existing office space into two dwelling units. The code required that we need to have a open space for the rear yard. However, the building right now, at the time when it was built, 1979, it occupied the whole entire lot, which make rear yard open space not possible. And right now, the two office space is already vacant for 3 years. And no matter how low we bring down the rent, it's still nobody interested in it. But however, there are a lot of people looking for housing units at this point. So in order to keep up with the conditions of the vacant space, we propose to have that two units convert into drilling units. Because right now the condition is pretty bad, like in a mold, because it's vacant for so long and then leaking windows and all these things. And there's no attention, you know, enough to maintain the wellness of the building. So the property owner would love to comply with all the codes, but however, it's just the rear yard requirements at this point. It is just not possible unless you chop the building off, or lock down all the buildings on the lot adjacent to it. So the building, like I said, was built in 1979 with all code compliances, and at that time everything is legal and according to the planning code. But that's as a code of today, it cannot be done. So we are asking the city to grant us an exemption on this condition.
I have a few questions. First, you just mentioned that the current windows are leaking, and there's also mold. And assuming that the project would involve renovation of the office spaces, replacement of the windows.
Yes, everything that is required by code and everything up to standard.
And then additionally, there's a requirement for neighborhood notification under section 312, and there's also a requirement for off-street parking. You can comply with the off-street parking requirement by seeking a waiver. My understanding that staff has requested that be used several times, yet it has not been submitted. Can you explain why?
Oh, actually, we already have the parking reduction. I might have submitted the I don't know if this is the wrong one, because I used before it was a variance.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And then I do have a parking reduction application right here.
Okay.
Yeah, the planner told me it's a different application. It's not variance anymore, so okay. I do have it here.
Okay, great. Could you please submit that to staff as soon as possible, today if possible? Because that was one of the things that we were waiting on for this case.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And also the neighborhood notification.
Yeah, I do have. Thank you.
Thank you.
So do you also have the postings?
So is there any public comment on this item? Again, 2882 Geary Boulevard. Seeing that we close the public hearing on this item, we're being planned to grant the requested variance. And we submit to the standard conditions and also that. So we'd be glad to grant the requested variance, but would hold any decision until the second 312 notification is complete, and also until we get the waiver application.
Okay, thank you.
Now we can move on to the next item.
Item number four, case number 2011.1274V, 1884 Green Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor for this project here?
Yes.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm John Pollard for the project sponsor, Pat Tobin. I'm available for any questions. We took over this project in 2009. This was a civil matter between the three occupants of the building, Pat Tobin, Gina Carlin, and Mr. Zeta. We were not involved in the history from the litigation from 2003, the remodel that initially started in Pat Tobin's unit, the water intrusion. According to their insurance company, there was a settlement for a new foundation, perimeter foundation, to be put in the entire property. Our firm was hired by the HOA to come in and put in an entire perimeter foundation. Once we completed that work, the project sponsor asked us if we would be interested in completing the remodel and the upgrades in his unit. We explained that this was a small job and we were not interested into it. The appellant, one of the appellants in this, Gina Carlin, requested that we actually continue to do the work on the property because she was not comfortable with his current contractor at the time, and on her behest asked us to complete the work. We were then provided with a permit showing a condo map and that the property was incorrectly built, and some changes were modified in the late 80s showing that a tenant had taken out a 3x5 section in the back of the property to install so that they could easier park a car in the backyard. We then applied for a permit to get a permit to infill that area, that 3x5 section, and follow the line of the condo map. And unbeknownst to us, the area underneath the sunroom in the back had never been permitted for living space. It had been permitted for an exterior sunroom. So we've kind of been thrown in the middle of this between three property owners, three HOA that have had history of now almost 11 years of arguing civil suits and insurance companies, and we're trying to just do our best to clean it up, and I'm available for any questions. I did read the appellants, you know, different people and neighbors, and I'm available to respond to that.
And so you indicated that you've been a contractor since 2009?
For the foundation, and then in 2010 for Mr. Tobin to complete the remodel in his ground floor unit at 1884, correct.
And then the application that you filed seeks to a variance for only a small portion of the building that's in the required rear yard that you said you're trying to restore?
Yes, correct.
Based on photos that were submitted by the neighbor, it appears that actually the entire rear wall has been demolished, and actually it was like Chris pointed, it hasn't been replaced.
I think that on our structural permit, we showed the foundation going across the entire rear wall, and then on the plans we submitted, we framed up a new wall when we did the foundation, because the wall, you know how sunrooms are, they have a couple 2x4s and an old rotted 4x4 post. So we did frame a wall on the rear of the property with plywood over it in that space. Is your question regarding the revised permit that we filed, or?
Well, because the issue is that the wall, that rear wall, that the required is located
in the required setback.
So
correct.
Demolition and replacement would also require a variance, but the application did not state that.
Right. So the application needs to be corrected to show removing that the existing structure should be the 3x5 section that should not have been there, and then infilling that 3x5 structure. Correct.
And then also the photos that we had been given with the application were not as clear. Ideally, we would have been able to discover this prior. We didn't receive information, clear information, until we got this from the neighbor. And we had requested photos, which I don't think we got from you until either late yesterday or today.
I apologize. I think we submitted 20 photos. What we had a hard time doing, as I understand from Christine, is she asked us for a photo of the whole entire property from the back. And with the camera and only having 12 feet into the rear yard, we were not able to get the whole Pat's unit, Gina's unit, and the upper unit in that photo. So we submitted, I believe, about 20 photos in our original package. And then yesterday, Christine said, could you get us a better photo showing the entire back of the property, which we attempted to do and submitted more photos. I apologize if we got confused on the photos.
Yeah, because I don't think we received 20 photos in the original application. I think that there were only a handful, but and also they were of pretty poor quality.
I apologize. Sometimes we're trying to keep up with technology and maybe using our phones more than we should use our old school cameras.
And I'm assuming that there's going to be quite a bit of public comment here, so yeah, you'll have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Of course, I'm available. Thank you, Mrs. Hanford.
Okay, can we move on to public comment on this item, please? And you'll be given 3 minutes each to speak, but also have questions for you as well.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Gina Carlin, and I am the owner of 1880 Green Street, which has been significantly damaged due to this construction. I'm just here to strongly oppose the variance due to the fact that both the owner and the contractor here are very well aware of the laws that are in place by the City Building Department and Planning Department.
I have written several letters to the planning department, several letters to the building department, which I've never received response from. I filed, called and went down to the building department several times, and it wasn't until April that I filed a formal complaint when I finally had someone say, you have to file a formal complaint, because every time I went down there, people were saying, oh, this is a civil matter, the city has nothing to do with this. Well, they were working outside the scope of their permit. They didn't have permits. They moved an exterior weight-bearing wall, which caused severe damages to my unit. I have plenty of photos to show you if you'd like. Can I use this?
Yes, please.
So, as you can see, at one point, this is the interior of Mr. Tobin's unit. The wooden structure you see is actually our garage. That's where his unit's floor used to be prior to the construction. So in some cases, in some part of this unit, there has been over 4 feet of dirt removed. Here's another photo showing all the dirt that was removed. And I don't know if this has been requested on the variance of work that they're trying to approve, because this was not in the original plans. You can see the actual, where the floor used to be, where the foundation is, where the original wall is now at least 3 feet above where the floor used to be. This photo shows and is clearly that they have completely gutted the unit, which was not on the original plans, and I don't know if that is part of this variance either. Complete kitchen, bath, gutted. The original plans were remodeled kitchen and bath, like and kind. You can see, I have several. I don't have time to show you the damages that were done to my unit. However, I do have, if you choose, I do have the original settlement agreement, which shows that the entranceway of Mr. Tobin's unit was illegal from the beginning and never had plans. And he, in our settlement agreement, it proves that he was, and that's this area here. So if you look, that's his original entranceway. That area was illegal. It never had permit. It was never permitted to be built. That's the area they're asking for the, I think, the variance, if I understand the information correctly.
So time is up, but I do have a couple of questions. So you're the owner of the middle unit, that's correct?
I am, yes.
And then, so you did say that you had significant damage. You have, can you describe the damage, and if you have photos, show the damage?
I do have photos. So with the removal of the east wall, I have severe cracks all throughout my unit. This shows the kitchen. I don't have my photo of my granite countertop that was completely cracked, but I have nail pops in the hallways. There's severe cracks throughout the unit. At one point when Mr. Pollard was putting in the wall below that he explained, it caused a hump in my hardwood floors. Here is a photo of the scale, or the level that we show on both sides. Also, I have photos of, due to the construction debris constantly being washed down, our storm drain, it clogged our sewer line, which then caused sewer backup. That was one of the last reasons why my, and that's this photo here. You can see here the placement of the steel beam. I don't know if that's to code, but that's how the work's been being done. Also, you can see our storm drain, and there's proof of the construction dust that we dug out of the storm drain there, which then caused significant backup in the sewer.
And then these photos, or many of the photos that they showed of the lower unit, have a date stamp of 2008. Is that the correct date?
No, it's not. My camera, I didn't have the dates properly set on my camera.
So can you just give me the year and month?
So all these damages were in 2010. The construction started in 2009, and the end of December of 2009, when they removed the exterior east wall, that's immediately when the damages started in the unit. It was major shifting. My kitchen floor now slopes to the east wall. The fire door that goes out to the fire escape was jammed, couldn't open it up.
How long have you owned or resided in your unit?
I've owned the unit for 7 years.
And so can you describe the condition of the ground floor when you moved in? Did it have this structure at the rear with the clay tile roof?
Yes, so when I first moved in, the unit was empty, and it's been empty for 7 years, to my knowledge. And when I first moved in, it looked, I think I showed you one of the photos, let me find that again. It was just... That's the unit looked like.
And so now, are you claiming that the rear wall there, where there's the window, that's been pushed further towards the rear now?
Yes, it has, and it's been pushed further out towards the east as well.
Okay.
And we have a very narrow driveway, and my neighbor's property line and where the wall has been moved out to, I don't know if that is to code as well. I mean, I'm not a contractor, I don't know, but I've had several contractors come out and speak. I mean, I do have a copy for you if you'd like to see the settlement agreement, and I do have that circled. Well,
question to the, I have a photo that we was submitted by you that shows the construction at the rear.
Yes.
And it looks like at this point, the rear wall hasn't been moved any further back. When was the wall moved further back?
Well, all I have is the current existing, let's see, oh, what I can show you, what the unit looks like now. Sorry, I have all kinds of people here. This is what the existing unit looks like now. So,
because the
it's further out on the east, definitely.
Because the roof has been completely.
The roof has been completely demolished.
So it's further out on the east, but to the rear it looks to be in the same plane, because it looks like there's actually, to the right there, you can see part of the
original wall.
So it seems to me that the rear wall hasn't moved further back, but that they have already
extended
out constructing
to the east.
To the east, which
yeah.
is...
But that rear wall where you see the original was never legalized in the beginning.
Okay.
And I have part of our settlement agreement that states that.
But the rear wall in that location was on the condo map, is that correct?
I'm not aware of that.
All right. Well, it's been very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So we can move on to the next member of the public press comment on this item, 1884 Britton Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Geraldine Allen. I reside at and have title to 1876 Green Street. Green Street runs east and west. Adjacent to 1876 Green Street is a three condo building horizontal. The ground floor, which is the lowest floor, is owned by Sergeant Patrick Tobin, and it's the same elevation as the 1876 Green Street garage entry level. Between the two buildings is an easement driveway from Green Street, 100 feet to the north boundary line, sloping approximately 4 feet. In the mid-1980s, 1880-82 was a two-unit, two-story horizontal with a small rec room in the beneath. The east wall, facing 1876 garage entry, was straight, solid, no windows, no doors, and to the north corner. The north wall, overlooking the backyard, had windows on the east and a door entry to the west. Around 1885 to 1990, part of the east wall was dismantled, and an addition was constructed, extending onto the driveway facing 1876 garage entry, approximately 15 feet by about 2 feet wide. No 3-1 notification was received, and permit could not be located at the department. About the same time, a room approximately 7 feet by 7 was added above the driveway from the second story unit, nailed directly onto my property, 1876 Green Street, without my permission, and I understand no permit. I was made to understand that Mr. Tobin was a silent partner in this project. But 8 years ago, about 2003, a prefabricated three-sided unit, about 16 feet by about 5 or 6 feet, was quietly carried down to the backyard, I saw it, and attached to the north wall. The exterior, the previous north wall, was quietly dismantled, the floor was laid, the interior was finished, forming a beautiful 6-foot extension to the existing living room. No 3-1 notification was received, couldn't find a permit in the city. A year and a half ago, about 2009, new foundation, not a small job, was poured along the east perimeter, encroaching further onto the driveway, as long as well as along the north wall. The interior was demolished, no 311 neighbor notification, no permit, as far as I could see. The upper floor, which the roof was sloping without supports and without a beam. The backyard depth now measures only 15 feet 9 inches, short approximately 9 feet from the required 25 feet. The driveway width is only 6 feet 4 inches, short 2 feet 3 inches from the city requirement of 9 feet, making it unsafe, difficult, and sometimes impossible to get into the garage. Sergeant Tober has threatened me on occasion. I was deeply afraid of him, and especially when he visited his rental unit in his full San Francisco Police Department here. And so considering all of this, and considering the non-compliance over the many, many years, I urge you not to grant variance, and that the property be restored to its original dimensions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, one question, did you submit this?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. And you mentioned that there was a 6-foot extension that appeared to be prefabricated. What year was that again? The 6-foot extension to the rear that you mentioned?
To the rear? So in the rear, that was about 2003.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any other members of the public with a comment on this item, 1884 Green Street? Anyone else for 1884 Green? Seeing none, we would move back to the project sponsor, who would have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. As I mentioned in our original statement, this is a property that's owned three different ways with Gina Carlin, Chet Tedda, and Pat Tobin, and there's been history going on for 9+ years. Gina Carlin's brother is also a building inspector, Dennis Carlin, and usually when we work with someone in the building department, we cross every T and dot every I. We've had everybody from the building department out there repeatedly, which was Dan Lowry, chief building inspector, multiple times to make sure that everything was done according to plans, according to code. Senior building inspector Joe Duffy has been out there 3 times, and then district inspector at the time was Steve Heinel. All inspections have been signed off, all concrete was signed off, all plumbing was signed off, all electrical, all okay to cover. The only correction we've ever received from the building department was for the exceeding the scope on the permit that shows the foundation coming in 15 inches from the previous property and infilling that 3x5 section. When that was brought to our attention, we filed for the variance permit and for the permit to show that wall coming in 15 inches further away from Terry Allen's property and infilling that 3x5 section towards the rear yard. As to Gina Carlin's point about removing dirt, it's a spread footing. The footing is 36 inches deep, and the only soil removed was the slab that was broken up there, and the dirt was removed for installing the new foundation footing per plans that were inspected by Chief Building Inspector Dan Lowry at each and every pour. As to Pat Tobin's gutted unit, when we were involved in 2009 to get the foundation, the unit was gutted. There was no unit. It was just pipes and wire sitting there. There was no kitchen. There was no plumbing. The water intrusion that turned into a lawsuit and between the three different parties and the HOA, part of that lawsuit stipulated that an entire new foundation with waterproofing would be put in to negate any further water coming into Pat Tobin's unit and creating water damage. So when we got to the project, there was no kitchen appliances, there was no unit to remove, there was just the raw pipes and the plumbing. As to Gina Carlin's complaint about the sewer line, the HOA took a vote on the sewer line, and all the cameras from the different plumbing inspection companies show that there was a break in the sidewalk about 3 feet from the street. That's what the camera showed. The HOA hired us to dig open the sidewalk, pull a permit, and inspect it. And senior plumbing inspector Robert Farrell came out and inspected it, found the broken pipe in the sidewalk. We fixed the broken pipe in the sidewalk, which was 40 feet away from where our construction work is, and never has Gina Carlin had any backup or sewage problems on the property. So as to the sewer line, that was inspected by the plumbing department. We've also had consulting engineers, Patrick Buskovich, out there. He's looked at the plans, saw that the structural work was all done according to plans, and has seen no structural issues in Gina Carlin's unit. The three issues that were found in Gina Carlin's unit were nail pop, which are excluded on our foundation contract, which we fixed. We had three nail pops in the front living room and one in the hallway. We patched over them and fixed them. The one piece of floorboard that was in the kitchen, there was a shim under it that I assume was put in 2003 when she had the remodeling done on her unit. There was a quarter inch shim. We pulled the shim out, pulled the floor door, and it was fixed. The thing was fixed. And then there's a small crack in her granite countertop. It's black onyx granite. We offered to fix that, but it is excluded in our foundation contract that says all cracks that happen to any of the units above our foundation is excluded. We offered to pay for it.
So from what you're saying here, everything has been resolved except for the granite countertop?
Correct. Well, according to us, I mean, we're all now in litigation with Gina Carlin. So.
And the Department of Building Inspection?
Has never written a violation for any work we've done, any code violations.
Have they issued a notice of correction?
A notice of correction only for the ground floor for the variance section on the wall, correct.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Carlin, if you can, have more questions. So we've heard from the project sponsor that those issues have been resolved. Can you just speak to that briefly, to that point?
That's not true. None of them have been resolved. I did let SF Barrage back into my unit and to resolve the cracks, and they did send workers in, and the cracks came back immediately. And the granite countertop, basically we are in a civil suit, and due to all that's gone on, because
is it just the granite countertop, or are there?
No, I have pictures of nail pops. The nail pops didn't show up until after he put whatever wall in or the Momo beam, and that's when the hump in the hardwood floor came in and more severe cracks in the unit. The bedroom door wouldn't shut. I have affidavits from tenants to show that they came home on a specific date and this happened. I didn't bring that with me because this is in the court of law.
You reside in the unit, or you?
I had tenants currently in the unit,
and
I have an affidavit of them proving when this happened.
Okay, but this is all in the courts now.
It's all in the court, okay. And that's why I didn't bring that information.
No, that's fine. Because I mean, this is a variance for the rear yard. This is very limited. This is not even the building permit application.
Correct. I understand. But I do have, the city doesn't go and shut a job down for nothing. And I also believe that Mr. Pollard is very familiar with many of the building inspectors in the city due to the fact that he does thousands of dollars worth of work in the city every year. So he has personal ties with Chief Inspector Lowry, and I know you don't want to know any of this, but the fact of the matter is I do have the notice of violation here with me, if you'd like a copy of that.
If you could leave a copy of that.
Certainly.
Thank you very much. So with that, we can close the public hearing. I did give Ms. Carlin additional time. I don't know if the project sponsor has any final words. But be very, very brief and just to the points that she raised.
It'll be extremely brief. Obviously, whenever we're working with somebody who has a member of the family with the building department, we jump and then ask how high. Every time Gina Carlin has ever asked us, we answer the cell phone, we go over there immediately, fix anything. Once the value of her property, and she had it listed for 6 months and she couldn't sell it and she got no offers, there was, you know, unfortunately, then all of a sudden the issue was with us, it was with Mr. Tobin, and honestly with Chet Tedda up there. I believe this is a market thing. We also welcome any suggestions from you, obviously, Mr. Sanchez. Thank you.
Well, I mean, again, this is just the rear. I think we've gone probably quite a bit beyond what we should be discussing. This is specifically the rear yard variance. This is a civil matter. It's properly in the courts, and the courts will decide the appropriate outcome. That said, there are serious issues with the actual application that is before us, given evidence that was presented to us by Ms. Carlin. It does appear that the scope of the variance is inadequate, and actually they've done more work. Not only have they done work beyond what they were approved for the original building permits, they've done work beyond what was authorized in or requested in this variance application. So we cannot make a decision on this variance application at this date because of that fact. So I'll have to continue this item to February 22nd, 2012, and in the interim I will discuss the matter with staff, and the likely outcome will actually be a renoticing of the variance application in order to include the entire scope of the work appropriately. The essentially demolition and replacement of that rear structure, it only be represented as a minor expansion of that rear structure, but when in fact photos provided by the neighbor show that it was essentially demolished and replaced. So with that, we'll continue this item to February 22nd, 2012, and we can move on to the next item, or maybe we can go down
to
item.
I suggest that we do announce that. We're moving back to item number two. This is case number 2011.1299V, 2373 Francisco Street. Is the sponsor of this project in the room? Would you please approach the mic if you are here?
Okay, well, let's hold that to the end of the calendar then, and move on to...
Moving to item number five, case number 2011.0137V, 141 Albion Street, lot area and open space variances sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Owen Kennerly. I am the project architect for 141 Albion Street. The proposal here is to subdivide an existing lot that is 60 feet wide by 120 feet deep along Albion Street. I'll show the tentative map, which has been in review by both the building department and the planning department. And the proposed lot line will be going right down the middle of this 30-foot lot, but then jogging to the south about 5 feet, jogging back to the north, and back against the south. The reason for those jogs is because of existing openings in the existing historic building, which is on the north side of the site, and for fire code purposes, we're required to do that. For the record, on the agenda, the staff mentioned that the proposed parcel violated the code by being too narrow and too small, being less than 2,500 square feet. It's actually not true. The proposed lot would be 3,264 square feet. So it is definitely compliant in that regard. As far as the width, it is at its narrowest point, right here to there, it is actually 24 feet 7 inches wide, so it's a mere 5 inches shy of the required 25 feet, with the rest of the lot being almost about 29 feet 7 inches wide. So in regards to the open space, I just, and both the open space and also just the subdivision of the lot, I do want to just review some history of this parcel. We have Sanborn maps dating back to 1900, which show this parcel as two separate parcels, 30 feet wide each, along Albion Street, right, where Camp hits it, between 16th and 17th Streets. 1914 shows where the existing building on the north side of the lot was actually built here, so its fifth wall was right there. And on the south side was a building, was a paint warehouse, that then was also there up through the 1940s. And this is the 1919 Sanborn map, also showing two lots. And then the 1945 Sanborn map, also showing two lots. It was merged sometime thereafter. So there's definitely a history of having a lot subdivision on this parcel, and it's consistent with the pattern of the block. During the period when these lots were merged, the space to the south had been both a paint warehouse, but also had been off-street parking for a number of years. And so therefore, it had never served as usable open space for the two building units on the north side of the site. And therefore, we feel that that the variance for open space requirement for the front unit only is an understandable request, given the fact that that unit never actually had access to open space on the southern portion of the lot. So that is my description of the project and my review and summary. Welcome, any
questions? And just to kind of clarify too, we understand that the total square footage of the lot is greater than 2,500 square feet. However, under the planning code, in order to count towards the 2,500 square feet, it has to be at least 25 feet wide. So while the lot is more than 2,500 square feet, under how it's measured in the planning code, it's less than 2,500 square feet, if that makes any sense. But that's
right. So you have to subtract the sections that are 24 foot 7 inches.
Exactly.
So,
yes. I appreciate your comments. And we did receive one email of opposition, maybe it came in late yesterday or early today. Just keep forward that to me. It's from one of the property owners on Valencia. Are you aware of this?
Yes, Corey Teague forwarded that email to me this morning. She was not voicing necessarily opposition to the lot split, but to a proposed building that's already been fully entitled.
And it's under construction as well.
It's not under construction yet, but the permit is, the site permit is issued, the demolition permit for the existing storage shed on the site is issued. We've been through the appeals process. We've actually met with her repeatedly. She owns the restaurant that faces Valencia Street, and there's some issues with her kitchen encroaching onto our property and so forth. And the owner is offering to be fully cooperative with her in terms of that process.
And the variance that you seek from here will not result in any changes to the envelope of the building that's already approved and permitted?
Nothing. The purpose for the lot split is merely to allow the two buildings to have separate deeds for the parcels. The northern building is actually a two-unit building owner-occupied with a condo application process. The southern building would be a new building with three units for condominium. And the idea would be to have two homeowners associations instead of one, which would just be a lot simpler for everybody going forward. So that's really the only reason for it.
The easements that you have that are causing really any for the lot size variance, that is a light well, and will that be used for any kind of emergency access, or is it purely just the light well?
It's actually used for that setback on the middle of the lot here. This section right here is because there's a parking garage opening in the existing building that opens to this side. And the dotted line is showing a proposed easement for a driveway to access that on the new lot. The one at the back, because there are windows along this whole face of the building here, the existing building is full depth of the lot. And it's a historic resource, and it has windows along this back side. And so we have to maintain the 5-foot offset with the property line to meet the building code requirements.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item 141 Albion?
Yes. My name is Jean Luna, and Anna Maria Luna lives at 156 and 168 and 158. The issue is we put that building as a landmark, a historic landmark, because the owner passed away. People been purchasing that building, and they ruined the inside, it's structural. And I've seen it, and it's a condo. And I understand why they're doing this to our district on Albion Street. It's not fair for the people who rent in this neighborhood. They're going to make a lot of noise. What it is, they didn't unfinish the job. I saw the parking lot this Tuesday, because I had to go to the police station. I saw it opened. The garage downstairs is open. It's not shut. They messed up the other side. It used to be an apartment. The people used to live there. And it used to be a little bit of garden. It's a parking garage. It's not, I don't want that to be done whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. So your concerns are related to the existing building on the lot to the north?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a variance for a subdivision. This has nothing to do with actual construction activity.
I want it to be stopped because people, I don't know how many people are buying that building. They can't afford it. I've seen other construction workers doing that place. I don't know who are the owners. And I found out in the computer 141, Albion is up for sale. And I don't know who's buying it. And I want this to be stopped as soon as possible.
Have you spoken with the architect for the
sponsor? No.
Okay. Maybe I'll ask him to speak with you and you can discuss the issues after the hearing and make public for
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 141 Albion? Seeing none, the project sponsor, you'd have a 3-minute rebuttal if you so choose. Okay. Seeing that, we would close the public hearing on this item. Would be inclined to grant the requested variance, given that it does allow the preservation of the historic structure on the northern lot, and it is to address a technical planning code issue. Also to ask that the project sponsor meet with the member of the public here and also the people who had sent in the emails and continue working with them to try to resolve these issues. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2011.1091V. 3348 Market Street, rear yard setback and non-compliant structure variances sought. Project sponsor, please. Please approach the mic, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Barbara Plutz and I own the property at 3348 Market Street. The property in question is a separate lot that goes with my property, and it's a separate lot that just accommodates a small garage that is on it. The garage was built in the 1930s, and the garage is collapsing due to earth sliding from the uphill property, which is resting against my garage.
This is our architect.
As you can see on the northwest side, the uphill side, you can see on the pictures here, that's the lot number 40. Yeah, and as you can see from the inside, it's not very clear, but the walls on this part are actually coming in. And the other reason also is,
Originally, when we looked at the situation, because the garage is literally falling over and is shoving over the garage that is adjacent to it, originally we had considered just replacing the wooden part of the garage. Just replacing the wooden part of the garage so that it would be basically just like it is now, only have a door on it, etc. The door has been on for years and years because it was pressed like this and had to come off. So we consider just replacing the existing wooden garage and leaving the retaining wall that was there. However, there is a rock wall that is also against the garage wooden part here. And with the earth up above it. So it was impossible, it was going to be impossible to remove this part of the garage because of the rock wall that was up against it and leaning against it. So at that point, after communicating with our uphill neighbor, we did have a survey done of the property and found that the property line is substantially further towards the uphill property and further on the other side. So it was quite a bit bigger
than the existing
garage. As you can tell, the existing garage ends there, and the property line goes all the way to that corner and going all the way back. So what we are proposing is to redo the retaining wall so that the garage walls can be recontained and going to the limit of the property line.
So that's what we are requesting and the reason for the variance.
And the expansion in the garage would be used for other storage as well?
No, actually,
the garage itself, we just show the garage.
It's pretty small.
It's smaller. There's actually a total of four garages there.
It's really hard to maneuver in and out of that space. So one of the biggest reasons is so that it front side door can get out. As you can tell from this picture over here, that's approaching the, you know, the four garages. We have this garage here.
To make it more useful.
Yeah, I currently have a PT Cruiser, which I do am able to get in. But it always has damage on the front of the car because I just can't help but bump it. I used to have a Volvo, and that was a real trick trying to get it in there. One other thing, just in the last week, because people do use this space between the garages as a turnaround. Because people do use this space in the middle as a turnaround, including sometimes large
delivery
vehicles. You know, small trucks and things. Somebody has now hit the garage, the wall between our two garages, and now the whole side of my garage here, this has popped off the bottom. It was impacted here by somebody, and so the whole thing is really even leaning further right now.
So that adjacent garage with the minivan parking, that are they going to be doing any renovations of their?
What we're hoping is that with my contractor has certainly met with them and had extensive conversations. Because this part of my garage is putting substantial pressure on their garage, we're hoping that when we take this down, it will relieve that pressure and they can kind of straighten up their garage without having to do too much new construction to it.
And then last week, the weekend, I received an email from, I think, the Uphill neighbor who stated that they had concerns and that they wanted to submit those concerns. I gave them my email address and staff's email address and asked them to respond with comments, but I haven't received anything, so.
I think they're here.
Okay, good. Then we will hear from them in the public comment. Okay. Which is the next, one final question. So the buildings, the garages were constructed approximately in the 30s?
Yeah, I didn't bring my file with me. What it appears is that the property, these garages were part of the property when it was originally put in the 1930s as part of a subdivision. And the property above was developed, their property permits are dated later than our property permit, but I have no idea when their wall went in up against my garage, but it does not appear that it would be possible to build my present garage wall if that stone wall was against it when they were building it.
And it's certainly an unusual situation to have even these small lots begin with. The lot size requirements of the planning code went into effect in 1946, so assuming that these lots were created prior to 46, maybe shortly after the garage themselves were constructed or even before that. But it definitely is an unusual situation.
It's definitely an unusual situation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And then we can go to public comment for this item for 3348 Market Street.
We have three minutes, ma'am.
May I have a clarification? I'm a little unclear about what the setback is supposed to be in this particular situation. And it's not clear to me what setback they're requesting.
So
I've seen 3 or 3.5 feet. I've seen 6 feet. And one of the documents that I was sent said that the current size setback is 6 feet, and the proposed condition would be no feet.
So the requirement here is 15 feet. So generally, in this zoning district, the rear yard requirement is 45%, but you're allowed to average against adjacent properties, but in no case can you go to less than 25% of 15 feet. Given that this is such an exceptionally small lot area, usual, that there is a 15-foot rear yard requirement. It is an odd-shaped lot as well, which further complicates it. We're trying to, you know, build something square, and that's not a square or rectangular lot. Then the application is for a variance that goes 3 feet 6 inches into the required rear yard of 15 feet. So then that would be an 11-foot 6-inch rear yard would be maintained on the lot, and the project architect can confirm that. But the variance request is to go 3 feet 6 inches into the 15-foot required rear yard.
In the notice of the building permit application, the proposed condition side setback would be 0 feet 0 inches.
That's correct. So there would be no side setback, but the rear setback would be 11 feet 6 inches. So they will be expanding to the side, which is actually within the buildable area. It's only the rear portion of this very small lot. So to separate everything.
Whether it's a rear or whether it's a side.
This is the variance for the rear yard. So this is very, very focused on just the expansion, the encroachment to that rear yard. The expansion to the side, to making a full width of a very, very small lot, that's actually principally permitted under the planning code and is not subject to variance.
Okay. For the record, I'm the owner of 539 Corbett, which is the property most directly affected by the intrusion of the new construction. I have one other question, and it's unclear to me whether or not this is new construction or it's a remodel of some sort. I'm not sure how you characterize that. Are they constructing a new garage?
I think the architect can maybe delve into that further, but I believe this was as an alteration. It may, you know, that's a technical decision for the Department of Building Inspection to make. Whether or not it's a demolition reconstruction permit or whether or not it's an alteration permit.
I see. So when you talk about conformance, you're not talking about construction.
We're speaking about the proposed construction into the rear yard. So,
okay.
So that is what triggers it.
This may clarify the stone wall. This is a picture sent to me by Mrs. Pletz. This stone wall that you see here turns the corner and runs along the side of their garage, as well as across the bottom of the hill in this position across a number of parcels in that direction. I just thought that might be useful.
No, it is, and any removal of that stone wall and replacement with the structure and retaining wall would need to meet the relevant building code requirements to ensure
safety. Well, I'm somewhat concerned, just I mean, because it will be an engineering issue.
No, definitely, and that's, I would suggest that you discuss that with the project architect, and that's a requirement that the Department of Building Inspection would ensure that they need.
And then in addition, this is another view of the garage, which is hardly a structure. That's why I was hoping that, in fact, the new construction would be a new garage, not just a remodel, because it obviously...
I think there will be significant changes to once they, remove whatever portions that they are going to remove of the garage, and then, have that wall removed, the retaining wall, and have the building expanded. I'm sure it'll be a significant improvement from what is there currently.
And then, I don't know if you can see it from this angle, but there's a post here in the front. There's a wire that runs, and that's holding up the next door neighbors. That's stabilizing the next door neighbors' garage.
I think that the Department of Building Inspection would not need to see that. Like all buildings have to be held up by themselves, not relying on others.
I just wanted to also voice that I was concerned that the new construction, because it invades the setback provisions that are currently, in fact, may diminish or even foreclose certain uses and or construction options that my property may currently have under the law. I'm not planning anything, but my access to the back of my property is diminished by this construction.
Well, I think that's something we should discuss with the property sponsor, because it seems that their property is their property. They would have control over whatever access you already enjoy to your property. So that's something that's more of a civil matter that you should discuss.
Right. One of my concerns is that the indication was that my property was in fact falling against their property, causing this problem. But indeed, that's my property is terraced, and I'm not sure I have a picture of the terracing, but my property is terraced with rock, with stone all the way down. Once they discovered that they had their property ran, in fact, you can see it here, so here's where their property runs. This is the...
the property line.
Right, there's the property line for them, and then right here.
Well, since of the project and kind of enlarging the garage and rebuilding the retaining wall would kind of cure any issues that there may be now, so I think that this would be a good project to solve that issue.
May I submit?
Sure. Yes. Thank you. Just to confirm, so I did receive an email from you last week, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Great. Just wanted to make sure that we were okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? That's 3348 Market Street. The project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. Would you like to?
I just wanted to clarify what exactly we're doing.
Okay.
This shows very clearly, as you can tell, that the existing garage is, you're not changing the depth there. That stays the same, the side stays the same. It's this portion that is shaded, which is the only affected area. And the reason we have to do the 3 feet 6, because as you can tell, the 45% setback would be somewhere here. So we need that 3 feet 6 just for that little part of the rear wall. And that's all we are requesting. Just to clarify.
That is very helpful. Thank you. Thank you. And also, if you could continue to discuss with your fellow neighbor, resolve any lingering questions or concerns that they may be. And with that, we close the public hearing on the item. Would be inclined to grant the requested variance. It is quite an unusual circumstance given the configuration of this lot. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2011.1066B, 3939 to 3941 17th Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Denise Montgomery. I'm the project sponsor architect for this project. And I first want to give you a little background about this building. On February 3rd, 2011, the subject property was damaged to a fire at the construction site of the west adjacent property at 3943-3947 17th Street. The damage to our property, the subject property, was substantial enough to make both of the living units completely uninhabitable. The fire department had to go in through our building to put the fire out next door. So the owners have been living off-site and will continue to do so until the repairs and remodels can be completed. So damage to the property includes old kitchens, bathrooms were completely destroyed. There was extensive smoke and water damage to the floors, roof structure, and walls adjacent to the fire property. And in addition, the pop-out structure at the back of the property suffered enough structural damage from the extra weight of the water to put out the fire that it has settled more than an inch, and at this point is structurally unsound and needs to be demolished and replaced. So the owners of the building have been working together. It's a two-unit condominium, and all of the owners get along and have been working together to repair the building and are in the process of making improvements, which include bringing the pop-out building up to current and building and structural codes. Though by right they could rebuild the pop-out exactly as is, they would prefer to bring it up to current life safety codes for several reasons. One, the stairs are currently, the egress stairs to the back portion, the rear yard, are 2 feet wide, and they have no landings, and the rise and run is about 10 inches rise and 10 inches run, so they're extremely steep. And the structure is also completely even, you know, even before the water damage, it was not great. It was a soft story condition, so they wanted to bring that up to code as well. I should also state that one of the occupants is visually impaired, so the safety of the stairs is really a top concern. The neighborhood conditions are, I'd like to address a little bit. The property to the west where the fire started was under construction, and the newly remodeled situation over there has presented some changed conditions which influenced our design. First, the extension to the back of that building is much taller than our building. It's a full story higher, it's uphill from our site, and there's also a roof deck with a solid wood railing. Second, the building is only 3 feet off of its own side property line, which is closer than it was before to that. And then it extends all the way to the rear property line. So the effects of these conditions on our property are twofold. First, these conditions didn't exist before the remodel. The building was always a full story taller, but not an additional half story taller from the solid railing. And it was always pushed back at least 5 feet from the side property line and then some distance back from the rear property line. So it's both taller and closer to our building than it was before, which affects, of course, our afternoon and evening light. Also, the windows along the side of that property look directly into our windows. And I realize that's not an unusual situation, properties close to each other in San Francisco, but it was different beforehand, and so it's something that we are trying to mitigate. And because of the adjacency of that property next to us, it's turned this space here between the two properties into basically just a useless space for us. So we made a few design choices to mitigate the effects of that that change on this property and the property next door. So what we're proposing is to set our property. First, we eliminated all the windows on the side of the property that are adjacent to this west property because of the privacy issue. And we chose to put the egress stairs, along that back sliver of land that really wasn't useful. Nothing can grow back there. It's really sort of a problematic area. And we also chose to push the mass of our building back a bit, which you can see here, and put some balconies on the back of our property to allow more light to get into our area. We're not decreasing the rear yard setback, but we're continuing it to what it was before. We have made a few compromises from our initial scheme, and based on the request of the RUT to move the RPOP out back from the property line 3.5 feet at the upper floors. They agreed that it was okay to leave our egress stair at the lowest level up adjacent to the property line, since it's not adjacent to any sort of a habitable space on the other property. But above that, we're set back 3.5 feet from the property line, which is only 6 inches closer than we are at present. And then we also agreed to lower the firewall to be just guardrail height. So effectively, at the top level, we're about 8 feet off of the property line, from our property line to the edge of the mass of the built-out. And then that means that we're about 10 to 11 feet from the base of this adjacent property.
These changes were made in response to both the RDT, the residential design team, comments, as well as I understand the...
as well as a neighbor request, yes.
And when did you first hear from the neighbor?
Well, that's an interesting question. The property next door, of course, was under construction, which is when the fire started. And while we were going through the 311 process and through the zoning notification process, some of the units in that building were in escrow. And so we were negotiating initially with the original owner of the property, and we heard from one of the, I guess, a representative of one of the new owners just within the last few days. So we're open to talking to them, but the nature of our variance requests, we believe, are twofold. One is that we shift the footprints around so that we can accommodate our new stairs that are more safe. And we don't believe that that's inconsistent with other conditions on adjacent properties. And then two, that we raise the average height of the roof with this new dormer by 2 feet, 4 inches.
All right. Well, thank you. So, to move on to public comment for this item. And 3941 17th Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Chris McMahon, and I am a good friend and representative for the owners of the two units next door. One is at 4943 17th Street, and one is at 17 Hartford Street. Those are actually around the corner of each other, the entrances, but it's the same
building. Okay.
But before I use all my time, I would like to, could we clarify what the actual variance is asking, or what the variance request is asking for? Because the planner, Douglas Vu, his responses to me by email have been, in my opinion, a little bit confusing. Whether it's the height of the pop-out or rear yard extension or the actual raising of the roof for that new additional room on the very top level. Could you clarify that for me for a moment?
The rear yard variance is for the demolition of the rear addition, which was prior damage, and construction of a replacement addition to the existing building. The replacement addition is located within the required rear yard, and also change the roof line, increase the height of the building, and that's the original variance. The last 10 feet of the building depth are limited to a height of 30 feet. So the proposal to raise the rear of the building to be 10 inches to a new height requires a variance. So it's any portion of the building at the rear that is above 30 feet height is what's triggering the variance.
Okay. Do I have your time
left? Yeah, okay. We'll give you an additional two minutes, sir. Okay.
So I first want to say that this is not, we're not opposed to the project. I mean, my friends and clients are actually thrilled that they're going to actually build something new and nice and so forth. And I believe Douglas Vu, the planner, has, he said he forwarded you the emails that I sent. Okay. So I don't know if you had time to read them or anything. But so what our concern, and it's terribly unfortunate that this change of ownership happened at this time. I don't know why the previous owner was so concerned about it, because he didn't disclose it to my clients either. That's not part of this story. What we would like is just the opportunity to work with the applicants and make a, and suggest a couple minor adjustments. That, so as I understand it now, one is raising the roof to add that room up top, and the other one is to move the pop-out rear extension slightly closer to the side property line. Is that correct?
So they're moving it off of the side property. Some of the changes that have been made are the reduction in the size of the firewall. So mm-hmm. they're streamlining the firewall. So that was an impact on the client's property. They're also setting it back from that side property line. It's functioning, I think, 3 feet, six?
6 inches.
3 feet, 6 inches, which would mirror the setback of your client's property.
Does the planning code, I think it's 136, does that require a 5 foot setback for a multi-story rear yard extension?
It depends. So under 134, you're allowed to do rear yard averaging against the adjacent properties, which they have done.
Okay.
Then there's also 136 allows you to go even further. And so if that you're doing a two stories with a 5 foot setback, or you
it's the whole point is to avoid the mineshaft effect of that space and the side, which Ms. Hall Montgomery mentioned that is unusable for anything because it's already very dark. And we want to minimize the negative effects of that. And then, so whether it's part of the side property wall, the firewall, as you call it, or the location of the fourth story, third story above the garage, if you will, room at the top where the roof is going to be raised 2 feet 9 or 2 feet 9 and a half inches. the location of that, which my clients feel could be much better if it was moved towards the street a little bit more. As far as the stairway and the rise run and so forth, we have no problem with any of that at all. I mean, so this, all for it.
This, so this, if I understand, so the stairs are okay in their revised configuration. Also, the firewall, I have no issue with. It's really the height of the addition at the rear and that they are.
This, the stairway in general, no problem. The top flight of the exterior stairs actually does not connect with the lower flights of the exterior stairs. It actually goes in, it goes to a separate deck on the second floor, I guess you would call it. And then you have to go into the unit and then come back out to go further down.
So I think we have a couple options here moving forward. I mean, I definitely think it'd be beneficial if everyone to have additional communication on this. We could kind of hold this hearing and have the next item, you can discuss, kind of get a better idea of what the project is. Or, you know, we'll hear from the project sponsor again, if he can explain in greater detail the scope of the work, and we can take the matter under advisement and give you time, as additional time to discuss. So if you'd like time today to discuss, or, you know, we can take the matter under advisement and have you guys meet over the next week. And
that's what I would prefer. I mean, Ms. Hall Montgomery and I have spoken on the phone, and I'm happy to work with her, but at the late date when my clients found out about this project, just by the notice on the window, there was only a day and a half to actually talk, and she clearly stated, and I agree with her, there was that's not enough time to redesign anything.
Okay, well, yeah. That's, so when I have a public comment, it's your time to have this up, so we'll see if there's any other public comment, and I'll give the project sponsor time. So
thank you.
Thank you. So is there any other public comment on this item on 3939 to 3941 17th Street? Seeing move back to the project sponsor and give a 3 minute rebuttal, maybe just clarify the scope of the stairs and how they will function, and also any other ideas that you may have for modifications to the design.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
So the stair in question is going from one deck up to the upper deck, and it's to allow the upstairs owners to have access to private open space, easy access to private open space. It is not an egress stair, so the fact that it goes into the building is sort of a moot point. So it's for circulation and livability and for the workability of the unit.
But there's the interior circulation as well.
Absolutely. And so
This is just stairs that connect the two floors of one unit.
That's correct. That's correct. And I want to clarify also about the height, the increased height that we're requesting. That portion of the roof is back beyond these windows here. It doesn't have any detrimental lighting shading effects at all on the property to the west, and it's well within the average height of the two adjacent properties to the east and the west of us. So it's, I just wanted to make that clarification. We're certainly willing to work with the neighbors, and it's unfortunate that their previous owners didn't disclose to them the situation. I just want to remind you that my clients and the property owners are not able to live in this property and are having to, in one case, pay two mortgages. And so delaying a decision does have a material impact on them. So I just want to be clear about that. And I also want to be clear that, in effect, the mass of our building and the portion of the building that is next to the topmost unit of the property to the west is actually 10 feet away from the wall. I mean, it's a significant amount. So I guess that's my summary. So the increased height isn't affecting the setback zone in there that we were calling the unusable space.
Will you be able to meet with the neighbors representative by the end of the week?
Yeah.
And will you be available to meet by the end of the week?
I think we did two things. I don't know if you'll be able to install this today, and if I understand the pressure that her clients are.
Okay.
And as a design professional, I know that delays mean money, and I'm not trying to charge them this. And if they want to hear what I have to say, I'm happy.
So why don't we have you guys discuss this today, and if you're done speaking, we'll close the public hearing on this item. We'll take the matter under advisement, and then have you discuss and get back to me by the end of the week the result of those discussions.
And then could you clarify for me what the process is after that? Does that mean that you make your decision by the end of the week?
Right, but I'd like to be informed by both parties what the results of the discussions were, any design changes, and if there is agreement, then I think that the proposal already is reasonable, but I would like additional discussion to occur, and then we'll make a final decision for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And so now we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2011.1137B, 66 Potomac Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance is sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Kevin Fuller. I'm the architect and project sponsor for the project at 66 Potomac Street. Just a few words to clarify why we are applying for a variance. I'm going to refer you to sheet A2, which I believe should have before you, Mr. Sanchez, as part of the package that we mailed out to neighbors. As you can see in this drawing here, the project site has an irregular site condition at the rear portion of the property back here. This is a function of a change of use that many years ago there was a different use that is there now. It's all residential now. In this case, owner wishes to have the reason we're engaged in the variance process is to allow the owner to have the same development potential for their site any other property would have on that block. In this case, the renovation of the property would have, because of the irregular rear site condition, the 45% build-to line becomes an irregular line that makes a rather odd presentation of the rear portion of the building in terms of renovation. Our goal is to create a rear elevation that is orthogonal to what would otherwise be a linear rear yard condition. As you can see in the drawing, we're not seeking to build more than what many of the adjacent neighbors have done. Again, this is an effort to come up with an ordinary bay window, orthogonal rear building elevation, and come up with a more sort of elegant or harmonious sort of rear site or rear yard condition that would otherwise be impossible if we didn't engage in the variance process. So that's basically it.
The design is, they said, to accommodate the more traditional design element to it, but it is a pretty large front setback on the property as well, right, with approximately 9 feet, 3 inches.
And yeah, that is correct. Right.
The odd shape of a lot of the rear.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 66 Potomac Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, but would hold any decision letter until the Section 311 expires, which I believe is on February 18th, to allow for any additional comments that may come up during that time period. Noting that it does have a substantial front setback and a regular rear yard that complicate matters here. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2011.0943V. Thank you so much. Item number 9, case number 2011.0943V, 2808 Laguna Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Jeremy Paul for the project sponsor, Mike Shea. Go to the overhead. This is the corner of Green and Laguna. What's going on in this little corner these days, I suppose. And the subject property is right here. It is separated from the Green Street frontages by the rear yards and the extension of this corner house, which I'll show you further photos of. What Mr. Shea has here at 2808 Laguna is a very shaded property by important and valuable trees at the front and especially at the rear. There's a large cedar of greater than 42, I think about 44 inches in diameter at the base that provides a great deal of privacy for all the surrounding properties. And that the negative impact of having that tree providing that privacy is that Mr. Shea's rear yard and his balcony and his deck are always and entirely in a shady cavern. This is a shot from the roof of the properties to the south. This building right here is a three-unit building at Green Street. You've heard comments and we've interacted with the neighbor in this middle floor unit. Back to the overhead again, that is this building. So this roof deck is on top of that Green Street building. This is as viewed from Laguna Street. That's the roof deck that overlooks this part of Laguna, looks down at Laguna. So from these windows at the middle level, it looks across the 20-foot rear yard and looks across this roof, across these roofs here. What Mr. Shea is seeking to do with this variance is simply to get a location for a stair that accesses roof deck here. That's the only portion of this project that requires the variance. And I believe that the public benefit of retaining the trees and seeking quality usable open space elsewhere on this property, i.e. the roof, is really a positive outcome for all of the surrounding neighbors to allow this to happen. So working with our planner and in consultation with the neighbor, we've discussed various alterations and scenarios for this roof deck. I believe that the principal issue of how the roof deck is configured does not have as much impact on the adjacent property as many circumstances like this would. Because we're 20 feet away, we've proposed to be set back from the edge of the building. We're not intending to pull all the way forward. Whether it is, as we have proposed, the 250 square feet, or if the size is reduced to 220 or 200, I don't think it's going to have a significant impact on how that deck gets used and how it's experienced by the adjacent neighbor. What I do think will affect the experience of the adjacent neighbor is how the deck is laid out and how what we choose to do with a guardrail and with furnishings. You can see in this photograph there's a large existing dish that from this level provides is an obstruction of a view across the bay. And what we're suggesting that we can do in something that we have shown you and called it alternative two is to relocate the dish to the rear of the building below deck level so it is not in the in the sight line. Putting a space heater back at that corner to, one, eliminate the likelihood of somebody wanting to put a sight-obstructing mushroom heater on the roof in the future, and also to draw the congregating space on the roof deck over to the north side. We've also suggested putting a low, somewhat of a planted moat, a green roof portion with low-growing sedum or not vertical growing plants, not a, a planter bed with any depth, so that anything vertical could go there, it would be a site obstructing feature, but just something low that would extend beyond the guardrail into the deck area, which would again keep furnishings away from that south side.
Thank you. So have you discussed these two alternatives with the neighbor?
We have, I don't believe, we have through the planner. We haven't gotten any direct feedback on this. She let us know that she was interested in us reducing the guardrail as much as possible, and we have proposed to do it with a stainless steel rod rather than and aircraft cable rather than with framing. Of course, we cannot do glass. That would be the preferred. But I think that this really minimizes the impacts that this will have, and I think will be a visual improvement over the existing view across a gravel roof and vent pipes.
So the neither proposal really does much in terms of the extension of the deck towards the front of the property. So your vessel's deck is the full width. It aligns that pretty much exactly with the neighbor's property. Have you done looked at any alternatives that would shorten the deck or move it further away from the adjacent neighbor towards the north, or even move that edge closer, rather than having it set as far west as it does, just to shorten the length of it?
We have, and we've shown pulling it back from the southern property line, this alternative two. I think you have a...
It's still heavily focused towards the south. I mean, why can't you push it towards the north side of the building?
Oh, because the existing vents that are there create a real obstruction. There's kitchen exhaust and water heater flues there that created actual functional problem with us using that space.
Could the deck be rotated on a north-south access and fit in between the rear building wall and the vent pipe?
I think that it could. However, I don't think that we would still have to have a walkway from.
Or but I was thinking having it at the rear building wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would extend to the west only to the extent that that vent pipe, or where the vent pipe is, that's where the deck would stop. So it would be perpendicular to the rear and then kind of line.
So, actually, this might be the best photograph. So what you're saying is to leave this portion.
You delete that portion, essentially.
Unbuilt and to
exactly.
Move it into this area.
Well,
given the configuration of the roof, I don't think that that's going to be an improvement for, as viewed from here. You know, we have a gable portion of the roof, so it's not, visually, there's going to be obstruction there. So we're not going to be eliminating any obstruction here by simply turning this way.
We don't know as much about the obstruction as it is about the privacy and having people on a roof deck 20 feet away from your property, and those are the concerns of the neighbor, as I understand it. And so configuring the deck so that it is not directly behind their property seems that it would maybe address some of their concerns, but we can hear from the neighbor if that would. And also to clarify to you that this is a rear yard variance for the stairs, so it's not actually a variance for the deck itself. It is just a variance for the stairs, and it's my understanding there'd be other ways to provide code-complying access to a proposed roof deck that would not be subject to this variance process through an interior stair unless they're penthouse or trigger name to notice, but you could do other kinds of stair access that would not trigger the variance.
I concur. I think that this is the best solution for rooftop access. As far as Mr. Shea is concerned, he would like to have access to some sun, have some usable open space. It is going to be up a set of stairs. It's not going to be a heavily used area. He would like it to be of a usable quality and size.
The existing building does have a significant rear yard, and while there are trees there, there probably is more than an adequate amount of usable open space of the property, but...
That's true, but it's not just trees. It is a single, very large tree that dominates.
But this is the goal is to provide sunlit, usable open space.
That's correct. And in that context, we're amenable to making modifications as you see appropriate to the roof deck to improve the circumstances.
Thank you. And we can move on to public comment for this item for 2808 Laguna Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Yes, thank you. I'm Melody Jones, and I'm the owner of 1890 Green Street, which is the unit most affected by this. This is the view out of my living space, and I think you already know my concerns related to privacy specifically, and I do understand that this variance hearing is specifically for that staircase, but I felt it was important to note my concerns about the overall project as part of the variance process. So there's another picture I have that just shows where the staircase would go right here. So basically, the entire access to that roof directly affects the privacy of my home on kind of a 24/7, 365 basis. And I'm a huge fan of roof decks, so I don't want to come across like I'm not, or that I don't support other people doing what they'd like to their property. But it's literally 19 feet and 7 inches from that room where I spend most of my time. And so the concern once you put the variance through and a roof deck goes on, it's not so much just what I have to look at. That's certainly part of it. But it's also what could go up on that roof. It could be, you know, furniture, which is something that's going to block my light. It could be walls of bamboo or other types of, foliage to create privacy for them and hence directly block light for me. So my concern, you know, even if this was the next building down, would not be what they are given it's directly out my window.
So the living room?
Living room, dining room, yeah.
And it's a north facing exposure, so I wouldn't imagine you get actually much direct light from...
No direct light from the sun, so it's usually reflected.
So, I mean, actually, with that, then, additional structure there would, while it would block the view, it would provide additional reflected light. So, I'm just trying to...
The structure, it depends, right? I think actually seeing the picture with the metal obstruction actually made it look seem a little bit worse than I even thought the drawings might be. Because I don't know that that necessarily reflects the kind of light I'm looking for in the room.
Have you seen the two alternatives? Are either of those satisfactory to address your concerns?
I mean, there's no real satisfactory solution here since it's privacy and light. I mean, the mid-block open space is obviously something to be discussed and I know is highly protected within San Francisco. But this notably changes, like, my personal living space and enjoyment and privacy.
So your satisfactory solution would be no roof deck?
My satisfactory solution would be no roof deck.
So there's no alternative that would work?
I'm not saying that, but that is my... That would be my preference.
Okay.
I haven't seen a solution that mitigates all of my concerns. No, I guess that's what you're kind of asking.
Okay. All right, we'll appreciate that. And we'll go back to the project sponsor. Unless there's any other public comment on this item on 2808 Laguna. Seeing none, the project sponsor has a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez, Jeremy, Paul, for the project sponsor. We are sympathetic to the exposure and the view issues from that middle unit. We sat in there with Melody and observed it. You know, her tenants are going to see this deck. They, as they see this roof, I think that the net result of this, if we move the dish from this location, I think it's going to be visually pleasant with results, and I think that the privacy issue is really, given San Francisco and the use of roof decks, the fact that it's going to be up a stair, the fact that there's a balcony adjacent to the kitchen, so it's not some place that somebody is, it's not going to be a desirable barbecue location. I think that it's going to be mostly used when the Blue Angels are in town, and those rare, wonderful weekends that we have. But it's not something that they're going to be constantly observing into that adjacent living space. We have proposed to set back, originally it was 3 feet from the building edge, and what we quickly sketched is the space that we could use for the deck, setting back further, if in your opinion that would be an improvement for from a privacy standpoint point or from a visual standpoint. I personally think that eliminating the dish and in lieu of the heater and keeping it over here, trying to make this primary sitting area in this portion of the deck is a benefit to the residents of the middle unit at that Green Street location. But we're amenable to making modifications, as you see.
Do you have the rendering again that you put on the overhead?
Yes. And I like to point out the limitation of these kind of renderings and showing something like a guardrail. I mean, it's...
So there's a, this will be located on a platform that sits on top of the roof?
Yes.
So the plans that I'm looking at, okay. Ms. Jones, I just want to get confirmation on one thing, Mr. Paul. So you're the owner of the unit, but are you also the occupant?
I'm not currently the occupant for personal reasons. I had to move out last year.
Okay, thank you.
I plan to occupy it again.
Okay, thank you for your question. Okay, so do you have concerns? I think it's pretty clear about the size configuration of the deck. Due to that, I would take the matter under advisement to close the public hearing, consider the alternatives that have been proposed by the project sponsor, and would look to render a decision by the end of next week. And now, with the hearing closed on that, we can move to the next item, item number 10.
Item number 10, case number 2009.0089V, 226 6th Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Ms. Taylor. First, I'm the property manager for 226 6th Street. I do have a declaration of posting with photos that I think you need. Thank you. Mr. Sanchez, I think the description in the notice of hearing piece here pretty much pretty well describes what we need, what we're looking to do. We have a non-conforming building on 6th Street that butts up all the way to the property line. It's currently 3 stories. We have commercial space on the first floor, residential on the second and third. We'd like to add a fourth story, if you will, containing 15 rooms with additional single room occupancy residential living space for the community. I don't know if you have any particular questions on this?
No, but we can speak to the nature of the existing building. It's my understanding it's a potential historic resource, and that the department has requested the addition be set back with approximately 11 feet from the front property line in order to respect that, and that's one of the reasons that we're requesting the variance.
That's correct.
Thank you. And I think there has been some concern raised last week by the owners or occupants of the building at the rear, to the rear of you. Have you had any discussions with them?
I have not.
Okay. I know they've contacted staff, but I want to get in contact with you. But.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? 226 6th Street. 226 6th Street, seeing that there is no public comment, we close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the requested variances, pending that there's a potential historic resource that is being expanded and to accommodate additional SRO needs. With that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 11, case number 2011.0654V. 1167 Green Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance is sought. Is the sponsor of this project here, please? Five minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Jeremy Paul for the project sponsor. Project sponsor is my sister, Laurie Paul. And she lives in the lower unit in a very interestingly configured lot with two buildings composed of three condominium units. She, at the rear of her unit, has a lovely bamboo garden that is very enclosed and does not allow a lot of visibility from adjacent properties. There's a slight overhang of the deck above. If you've got the drawings, I think the elevation on 6.1 illustrates it well. What essentially we're asking for is an infill of about 60 square feet under this projection at the rear. The configuration does not increase the level of nonconformity in an existing nonconforming structure, in my opinion, in a way that serves the intent of the rear yard requirements and open space requirements. This isn't contributing to the usable open space at this property. I received a phone call from the case planner in regards to a complaint that was recently made. Last year, a property line fence was constructed, and this complaint recently came in, I believe spurred by our attempts to contact that property owner to discuss this application. They never responded to any of our inquiries, but they did call in a complaint about the concern that the fence had attached to their property. A building permit was issued the week before last to comply to address the concerns of that complaint. So there's a current building permit for the fence, and I believe that the building inspector was there yesterday to confirm that there was no connection.
So, my understanding, there are two buildings on the subject lot, and so this would not extend any further than the existing second building, which is set back.
No, it's shy of the second building.
Okay. Thank you. And is there any public comment on this item on 1167 Green Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item. I think generally a reasonable proposal given that the second building already approaches further into the rear yard than the subject proposal. So generally inclined to grant the requested variance, but I would like to get a little final confirmation on the issue about the complaints and the work that
permit, so I'll discuss that with staff.
And forwarding the information we have with the surveys.
So the public hearing is closed, Madam Member, advise them, and we can move on to the next item, Madam Member 12.
Item number 12, case number 2011.0964V, 321 San Jose Avenue, rear yard and non-compliant structure, variance is sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? 321 San Jose Avenue. Are you from 321 San Jose?
Yes.
Okay, you have 5 minutes, sir. Please approach the mic.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Morrell. I'm the architect of the project. And I can just go through a summary of the project, basically. There's already existing conditions there, where it's a garage that faces an alley, and there's already an existing stair that's uncovered. And basically, our proposition is to do some minor changes to the existing structure, enclosing it, bringing it up to code, doing some minor changes to the roof deck that's there, and then enclosing and upgrading the stair for egress. And that's essentially the extent of the variance that we're seeking. I did want to offer one clarification. The height of the stair is actually 22 feet, not 28 feet. It's listed in the summary. So. Essentially, our proposition in enclosing the stair is that it would offer a much more pedestrian, a much more aesthetically pleasing setting on Poplar Street. Currently, there are some adjacent properties that actually do front Poplar Street and do have their front entrances on Poplar Street. So, with our proposition, what we're proposing is to actually have a sense of entry that will be present on Poplar Street and offer just a very pleasing and aesthetically pleasing presence on Poplar Street. So, as far as the existing adjacent properties, we're essentially walled in. There's two adjacent properties that have a height of, can I see that's 321 there, and on either side of 321, there's two existing adjacent properties that are approximately 30 feet in height. So by allowing us to reconstruct the garage and put our open space above, that allows more light and air, you know, in regard to 321. The other thing you can basically see that the majority of the adjacent properties are pretty much solid wall, and the one to the north does have some windows in it, which we're essentially staying away from the north. And there is one window that is adjacent to the south that's on the property line, and then that actually we just had a meeting with the adjacent owner today that we're doing some consultation in regards to that existing window, which we're happy to work with the adjacent owner on. But that's essentially it. Are you kind of that's again the property to the south, and you can kind of get a sense of the environment in the back of Poplar there, and you can see that. The properties to the east are opposite Poplar Street, where there are some residences that actually do front and have their front entries on Poplar Street. So I think by allowing us to create this present on Poplar Street, it'll make much more neighborhood atmosphere. Also, by enclosing the stair, it allows the owner of 321 more safety. He'll be able to park his car and then directly access the enclosed stair and walk up, as opposed to having to go outside in the alley, which essentially is usually thinly lit and not very pedestrian friendly. So that's another, I think, advantage to proposing the enclosed stair. Also, on top of the enclosed stair, we're proposing to have a small roof deck that would be accessible from the main bedroom in the back of 321. So again, that offers more usable open space for 321, and will give more of a presence of just people and you know, the usable space, more of a, you know, pedestrian presence on 221. So that's the basis of our proposal.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? 321 San Jose.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay, hi there. I'm the neighbor, Christy Kimball, on the building just to the south, 328 and 327 and 323 San Jose. And so we have just the one, it's a property line window, and so we know there are challenges with that. And we've had a great discussion this morning. I really don't want to hold up the project. I just am interested in preserving natural light into the bedroom. So we have a one of the bedrooms in our apartment has that window as the only way that it gets light. And we've been talking about a number of things we could do. I'd like to move forward in a way that ensures that there's some way to continue getting natural light through there. And I think we've worked out an arrangement around having a fire-rated window that would allow light from their stairwell that comes in through windows there to continue through to ours as well. Something like that would sound fine with me. So that's just the one issue about having some way of getting light. And then the second thing I just wanted to mention is we have tenants, renters in that apartment currently, and I think they've been very good at communicating with our renters about what's going on. They have an, they have an interest in just managing the noise a little bit. They have a small child who they want to make sure she can sleep during certain moments of the day. But I just wanted to register that we have an interest in making sure that construction attempts to be sensitive to that. That's, and I think we feel comfortable that they're willing to move forward that way.
So the if an issue about noise during construction is regulated by the Department of Building Inspection, so if there are any complaints related to noise during construction, it sounds like you already have a good working relationship. So hopefully that wouldn't happen, but if it does happen, contact the Department of Building Inspection.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 321 San Jose? Seeing none, the party sponsor would have a 3 minute rebuttal. Is there any other public comment or any of that 3 minute rebuttal?
Yes, in regard to the window issue, we'd be happy to work with the adjacent neighbor on that. It essentially kind of coincides with the stairwell, which is going to get a tremendous amount of natural light. There's going to be a series of five very large windows that are kind of in a clerestory position because of the height of the stair coming up, which are going to remain open and gain a great deal of light. So that one window that she was referring to basically coincides with the bank of windows at the stairwell. So we'd be happy to accommodate her on that and put in a fire-rated window on the property line in unison with the current window that she has there.
Thank you. And I would note that is a, more of a private matter, not subject to the variance. So that would not be a condition of approval as part of the variance, but when you have an agreement to do that, it would go. Thank you. So with that, we close the public hearing on the item and be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions. We appreciate the willingness of both parties to meet beforehand, and it was just this morning, but to work out those issues. And it seems that a very reasonable proposal here, given that there is quite a dominant block base here on the back on Poplar of garages and buildings that are extending way into the far rear yard and through property line. And with that, we can move on to the next item, item number 13.
Item number 13, case number 2011.1201V, 1712 Castro Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, before we reach, I just, you know, did get a note from the project sponsor for 17th Street, 531 to 41 17th Street. It sounds like an agreement has been reached, so just contact the staff planner and they can help you ensure the revised plans get submitted to address these concerns.
And we'll hear from you
then. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry, let me restart the timer.
Sorry.
5 minutes.
morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Andy Rogers, and I'm the architect for this project. And my clients are here with us this morning. They have lived in their house since 2004, and they now have children who I believe are 6 and 8 years old, who are currently sharing a bedroom. As their family grows, they would very much like to have a separate bedroom for each of their children and more adequate living space. Currently, they have a little over 1,700 square feet of living space, and we're proposing a pretty modest expansion, which would give them about 2,050 square feet of living space. They are in a situation where their lot is about 77 feet deep, so it is a case of being a existing encroaching non-compliant structure. We would be exacerbating that by just a little bit. You can see the existing site plan on the left and the proposed on the right. There's very, very little increase in that encroachment. However, there is a middle section of the house where we want to raise the gable up a bit to give us more space. So the top drawing is the existing structure, and then on the bottom you can see the proposed. So we had originally proposed that the gable roof for the new structure come in at just under 7 feet above the existing gable roof. We went through a negotiation strategy with the planning department because they wanted to see it drop down a little bit. So we took 2 feet off of what is shown there, and they seem to be fine with that. In addition, my clients have met with both of their adjacent neighbors, even though that wasn't required for our proposal, because we had kept it under 7 feet, and both of the neighbors were fully supportive of the project and what's been proposed. And I just want to note that the addition that goes beyond or to the west of that taller gable is a flat roofed structure, and that was done predominantly to not cut off the light, the natural light, to the neighbors to the north. So that is pretty much it. I do have a declaration of posting and letters of support from both of the adjacent neighbors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? Again, 1712 Castro Street, any public comment? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item and be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting also that there's a significant approximately 10-foot setback, but also responded to a setback up front that states to develop the rear. The, there were comments from the residential design team, and you've
correct. Can I ask you one question? In addition to dropping the ridge height down by 2 feet for the new ridge, the planning department did ask that we remove the corner of the proposed addition as shown, that southwest corner, part of which exists currently, and It's they want it to be removed from the second level only, which takes a chunk out of the proposed master bathroom. The neighbors don't care, and I don't see, frankly, where there's any benefit to anybody in terms of privacy and natural light.
You need to address that with staff, and if the residential design team has recommended changes and we would not like to comply with those, then it would be a discretionary view. So be it. That go to the planning commission in order to have that heard by the planning commission. So it's about the RDT comments go to the planning commission.
So given that the variance is approved as it is now,
be subject to the also recommendations of the RDT.
I see. So if the RDT is okay with it, then our variance remains in place and we don't have to go through that process.
Right. Subject to the conditions of the RDT.
Okay, so I'll follow that up with our staff planner.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The public hearing is closed and plan to grant subject to same conditions and the condition that the project meet the design guidelines. And
item number 14, case number 2011.1250B, 2425 Ocean Avenue, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Get a sponsor, sir? You have 5 minutes.
My name is Jeff Graham. I'm the architect and the sponsor for this project at 2425 Ocean Avenue. This stretch of Ocean Avenue, this particular project is a orthodontist office. All the buildings along Ocean Avenue have a dentist office and offices and so forth on there. What we're proposing is a side addition to the project here in the back of the project. Ocean Avenue is on the front here. This is in the rear of the project, 7.5 feet wide by 24 feet in the stretch in here. The portion that we're asking for variance is this very small portion back here, 7 foot 7 wide, 2 foot 5 on one side and a little bit 3 feet on this side, so it's approximately 18 square feet they were asking. This lines up with the existing building and also lines up with all the other additional buildings along the back side of the buildings along the Ocean Avenue there. It's a one story addition.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, close the public hearing on this item. Being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it is a minor encroachment into the rear yard to just make it even with the existing rear building wall to the system with adjacent properties. The building also reaches a large front setback, so further kind of pushing pressure on development at the rear. So, again, public hearing is closed and inclined to grant, and we move on to
item number two, going back. Case number 2011.1299V, 2373 Francisco Street. This is the third call for this particular property. No sponsor.
Wait, do you need it there? The affidavit. Do you need the photos?
So that's the, thank you. No one in attendance for 2373 Francisco Street. So we would continue this item to the next hearing to February 22nd to allow the project sponsor to show to the hearing. And with that, we would move to general public comment. If there's any general public comment, seeing none, then we would close this hearing and reconvene on February 22nd, 2011.